Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are talking about any topic that comes up during the week, about feedback and questions. And right now we've got a series going on tithing versus giving, what the scriptures say. If you're using the scriptures to give you your support on either one of these topics, what we're specifically doing is comparing and contrasting what the scriptures say, not what we are told they say, but we're going reading through scripture by scripture the references to tithing to find out what exactly they say and why there's still such controversy about it. Just in case you haven't figured out by reading the description of the program or anything else, if you're not familiar with this ministry, just to be very clear up front, is that the scriptures are very clear about who should be tithing, when, where, and how. And they are so clear that we are excluded. Nobody alive today should be under any constraints or misunderstanding or under the idea that this law applies to us. It does not. And we are looking through and finding out what the history and application of tithing is, and especially the distinction between tithing as an aspect of the law and giving a tithe or a tenth as a part of our new nature. And as we move into talking more about giving, we will begin to see how that misunderstanding keeps us from living out of our identity, our true nature as a giver. Tithing keeps you from giving because as a spirit being, you are trying to submit yourself to a natural and supernatural law. God's not going to let you do that. Now we've all been told, well, that, but it works. And at some point in time, we may get into how one of my approaches to any subject is, can a non-Christian do it and get the same results? And this is one of those topics that, one of those areas that the answer is absolutely. You do not have to be a Christian to receive blessings from giving, from whether it's a tenth or 100% or two. The condition of your nature, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, spiritually alive or spiritually dead, when you give, you open the doors to receive. So anything that we look at in that light is not about who we are as Christians. So is giving good? Absolutely. For you and I, as Christians, it's not about being good. It's about who we are. When we recognize that God's basic nature is to give, and that our first job in regards to our relationship to him is to receive. That's what he made you for, is to receive unconditionally what he wants to give you unconditionally. So as we learn to receive, we learn to give. If you can't receive from him, you are trying to give out of your own strength. And you're no better than a heathen, an unbeliever, because all you're doing is giving what is your own strength, out of your own resources, out of your own motives. Now, when you do that in conjunction with dependence on God, for instance, when we get into the giving, we'll talk about how there's times when we give because God says, I want you to give. Then there'll be times when you want to give, and you'll say, God, I want to give. Is that okay? And he'll say, yes, go ahead and give. But then there'll be other times when he'll say, when you'll want to give, and you'll ask him, and he'll say, either way is fine with me. And then it's all on our shoulders about whether to decide to give or not. But that responsibility comes back to us, doesn't it? When we have been taught to tithe, we rarely hold those that we are tithing to accountable. And the verse we were discussing last week is a great example of that. And it is probably the primary source for the whole concept of what we do, what is done in so many churches today. What we were talking about was the whole setting up the system where the tithe is given specifically to the Levites and the high priest. In Numbers, in Leviticus, sorry, in, it was started. Leviticus is where the whole law of tithing began. And it was so general that in Numbers it had to be clarified. And some point in time we may go into the situation in which these books were written. And we know historically they were not written by Moses. They were not written at the time that we often consider, you know, when we think of the, you know, Ten Commandments and that kind of thing. That these were all written over a period of time and most likely by at least two different people for the people of Israel in exile as a means of keeping them all together, as to giving them a history, a written history. They had oral history and they had common history, but they did not have something written down, which is why they wrote it down. So because there was a dispersion during the exile and a mixing of cultures, and the intent was to bring all the people together for one intent and for one goal so that they could restore Jerusalem and return to honoring God, and this is how to do it. So this was a great deal of why these books were written down. So one of the things we want to look at is even in the writing of these books, is it wasn't in Genesis that the tithing was instituted. It wasn't in Exodus that the tithing was instituted. It wasn't until Leviticus that the laws were written down. So we have this idea that this is so critical to God, that it's such a primary focus to God, and yet we don't even see it until the third book of the first five books, the Torah. And we won't go any farther with the history of that because we want to stick to the history of the tithe itself. So first, just very general, the tithe was defined. 10% of everything from the land and everything from the trees and everything from the herd and the flock. So all the produce, and it was all the increase, and it was every tenth. And you literally counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then the tenth you put it in another bucket. Whether they were sheep, you just counted out the 10, and what they would do is they would mark the 10th one with their rod. And if it looked like it was going to be a real good one, you could buy it back. But you then had to give an additional amount to buy it back. And whether it was, if you were counting out apples, if you had your harvest, you would put 9 apples in your bushel and then 1 in another bushel for God. So that's how it worked. It wasn't you totaled it all up, and then you took a tenth that you got to decide. It was as you went along, as you harvested. And then it wasn't until the next book that it was determined where that went, what to do with it. And in Numbers 18, it was declared, God declared that the tenth would go to the Levites, and the Levites, the tribe of Levi, could not own any land, and they were only, their job was to take care of the things of God, the temple, the tabernacle, the people, minister to the people, the widows, the poor, and they, in turn, would tithe to the pastor, the priest. And in many respects, this is the formula, this is the form that so many churches use today, that the people being, the sheep, the people being ministered to, pay for the upkeep of the church and for ministry through the tithe. Now, we also have quite a variety of different structures within different churches on how the pastor gets paid. But pretty much it's off, it starts at least here. It starts on this form, this structure. This is where the scriptures start talking about what tithing is. So what we're going to do from here on in is look at the modifications to that. The modifications to that principle, the modifications and changes and inferences to that basic formula of the people give to the Levites. The Levites are not allowed to do anything else or own anything else. They can't own their own home. And this is where you get very, very often that the church provides a home for the pastor. The whole principle is that they can then be free to be available at the beck and call to provide whatever the needs are of the people. So when we look at the correlation, it's pretty clear. That's where we've gotten a specific idea about the function and that this is how you provide for the church. What we will find is that that formula was a part of the law, and that we are no longer under the law. And yet we very often continue to try to use the institutions and just modify them. And one of the things that this did, and we see it over and over and over again, how to be a part of the priesthood was became an evil thing, that they were greedy, that they mistreated the people, and they were indulgent because they were not held accountable. And we run into the same problem. We think God's going to hold them accountable. And we see over and over that throughout the Old Testament, the history of the Old Covenant, that God does indeed hold his priests accountable. And there are times when he, you know, wipes them out and judges them for taking advantage of the people. And you and I, now, we expect God to hold our pastors and our leaders accountable, rather than recognizing that we are not under that same formula, that same structure. You and I are now priests. We are the new priesthood. And we don't have leaders. We are to call no man father, no man leader, no man teacher, pastor, apostle, whatever, evangelist. God is your counselor, your teacher, your trainer. God is all those things. But why would that turn things upside down? If all of a sudden every single one of us treated each other responsibly. And then we get into the whole concept of judgment. We're so often taught you can't judge. You're not allowed to judge if you're a Christian. When that's not at all our new nature. Our new nature is to judge, to evaluate responsibly, to hold accountable, to evaluate. Because we're learning to rule and reign, we have to learn how to judge. That line, you know, don't you know you shall judge angels? That's not for when God does something different. That's for right now. That if we can't judge one another, he's not going to put us in a position right now to be judging what's going on in the supernatural realm. So in the natural realm, we need to learn how to judge, evaluate. Let's get over the negative connotations of the word judge and judgment. It's simply evaluate. And when we can't trust our own evaluation that we're developing through depending on God, we are shutting off the way God reveals himself to us and through us in any given situation. For instance, very often we will be in a situation where something isn't right. And this very often happens in marriages where abuse is starting and the husband or the wife begins to sense there's something wrong. This doesn't seem right. But they're told that this is the marriage you have, you're stuck in it. So they shut down their own judgment, and they start to mistrust those warning bells that are going off, and they learn to accommodate the mistreatment without ever asking God. They let others determine the parameters of what they're allowed to judge and hold accountable. So you can see there's a wide range of ramifications where we allow what we're taught to influence our relationship with God. So back to tithing. Last week, we looked at the parameters that the Levites, the whole tribe of Levi, did not own any land. Their job was to take care of the people of Israel. They were given cities throughout the country so that they could minister to the people, and that the people in turn would give them, tithe to them, the first fruits, the harvest, the tenth of the harvest. And as we move forward, we'll see that it got very specific. And one of the reasons, I think it had to get more and more detailed because people kept on trying to get out of it. That's one of the problems with trying to control a person's motive. And Jesus in the New Testament rebuked the Pharisees for tithing the smallest seed of cumin, the smallest seed of herbs. Counting out, 9 for me, 1 for God, 9 for me, 1 for God. And yet would throw widows out of their homes because they couldn't pay rent. But they were doing what the law required of them. And so this is where this all starts. So we want to make ourselves familiar with how it started very broadly. And because of our, when we're trying to please God and meet his requirements out of our own strength, we will always try to get out of it. The reason we want to make it clear is so we can do it and get it over with, and then go about doing what we want to do. So from here on, it starts to get more and more specific, more and more narrow. This is what you do. This is when you do it. This is how you do it. This is what it's for. So we go from a tenth of everything goes to the Lord. And already we've started to narrow it down. When I say give it to the Lord, what I mean is you give it to the Levites. And here are some more encroachments on the Levites' lives and what their responsibilities are. And when you start looking at the detail as to what the requirements were, this is much more a reflection on how we want to control without being reborn. We want to control our worship to God so that we can do it and get it over with and get back to doing what we want to do. So the next in Deuteronomy, a whole nother book. So we've been from Leviticus through Numbers 18. Now we're here in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5 through 19. And I'm just going to read it. I'll read it a little slower than I did before, but we're trying to get through this as quickly as possible so we can get to what's really important for you and I. And if you do want to go ahead, and even if you just want this for reference, on the profile page and on my main website, wecanprepare.org, there's the PDF that you can download. It's long, so you may or may not want to print it out. But follow along. It's got all the scripture verses that we're talking about right there. And you're free to send it to people, take it to your group, your church, whoever needs to hear this. And we've talked previously about how there's quite a variety of different approaches. I mean, this is not a little thing. Many people are beginning to realize there's something wrong here. So I'm certainly not the only one bringing this to your attention. But we want to not only look at tithing, but we want to look at giving as well. So we looked at Leviticus, that tithing was instituted as part of the covenant, the old covenant, the law. Then in Numbers, we learned that the tithe goes to the Levites. Now, in Deuteronomy 12, we're getting a new tithe. We're getting a new one. And this was called the tithe of the feasts. Starting with verse 5. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses, out of all your tribes, to put his name for his dwelling place. And there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. Okay, let's just stop there. We're not just talking about tithes here. This is a long list, and I'm not going to go through them all, but you go back and you look at all the things, all the requirements, all the detail that was placed on people to try to get them to do what someone thought they should do. So 7. And why they had to do that is because without a change in nature, we want to do as little as possible that's out of our control. You cannot worship God freely until you know him. And these people could only know him to a certain extent because they were dead in their spirit. and the opportunity to be enlivened had not been given yet. And this is what so many of the patriarchs and the significant leaders in the Old Covenant learned, was that they could only know him through the promise, but that that promise was not fulfilled yet. So verse 7, there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For as yet, you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you. Take heed to yourself, that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there shall do all that I command you. However, you may slaughter and eat meat within all your gates, whatever your heart desires, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat of it, of the gazelle and the deer alike. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain, or your new wine, or your oil, of the firstborn of the herd of your or your flock, of any of your offerings which you vow, of your free will offerings, or of the heave offering of your hand. But you must eat them before the Lord your God, in the place which the Lord your God chooses, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite who is within your gates. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all to which you put your hands. Take heed to yourself that you do not forsake the Levite as long as you live in your land. So the Israelites were instructed as to where to go to give their tithes, which is wherever the tabernacle in the presence of God was, and the manner in which they should be eaten as a family slash nation with rejoicing, especially to include the Levites. Unlike the tithe described in Numbers, which was given to the Levites, this tithe was consumed by the ones doing the tithing and was not specifically dedicated to the Lord. This tithe was associated with the feasts and festivals. Also recognize by then how many other vows and heave offerings and free will offerings and how many other strings had already been tied to pleasing God, to the law. It was no longer just about supporting the Levites. We have layer upon layer, and we'll pick it up there next Saturday, and we'll be in Deuteronomy 14 next Saturday, 9 o'clock. Until then, we'll be getting together again Monday at 7:30, our usual time. Have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.